I'm Stephen Price.
Hello, I'm Cara Githens.
This is The Innkeepers, a podcast by Sanctuary Inn. At Sanctuary Inn, we believe we are called to equip, refresh, and restore God's global workers.
On this podcast, we will be interviewing guests who have much to teach us about the many facets of missionary care. Let's learn together and be encouraged to press on in the work God has given each one of us to do.
Well, we're recording a special episode today on hospitality. Cara introduces to one of our guests.
So yes, today one of our guests is Katie Crawford. She is a dear friend of ours. We have known her for, close to 20 years. And she has been working at Nike for all those years. And as a friend to us in the ministry, she has served on our Sanctuary and board. She really has been a gift to us and to many other people. She has a true gift for hospitality. So we today want to sit down with her. And
joining her is my wife, Joanne. And Joanne, well, I've known her for a long time. We were married in 81. We've done pretty much full-time ministry since we've been married. Some of that's been stateside. Some of that's been overseas and in a lot of different settings, church settings in our home and ministry and so on. So anyway, Joanne and Katie and we met Katie. We'll talk more about that in the podcast, but she's just been a good friend for years. And both of them have
an incredible gift for creating spaces and inviting people in, as we'll talk about.
They do a great job. So let's hear from them. Today on the Innkeepers podcast, we have a couple of very special guests with us. My wife, Joanne, and our friend, Katie, are joining Cara and I, and we're talking about the area of hospitality. And I just wanted to kind of set the stage a little bit. It's Joanne and I met Katie in 2005, and interestingly enough, we met her at a youth retreat that was taking place right here on this property at Sanctuary Inn. But even before that, and then at some point, Cara and Katie were roommates with each other.
Yes. Yeah. I had the opportunity to live with Katie after I finished at Western Seminary. I lived with her for 2.5 years. And those were good years together. And so we have all lived together.
I know. We were roommates first.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've all lived together at some point.
Yes. Yeah, there was a space of time when we were in between ministries and we were living at Katie's house when we weren't traveling. So anyway, it's
so
just...
So Katie has given hospitality to
yes,
all of us.
Katie has.
That's
shown,
the moral of that story right
She has
there.
Shown great...
I like to have my friends live with me.
Yeah.
Yes.
She has shown great hospitality towards us. Well, let's just start and have each of you share a little bit about your passion and interest in missionary hospitality. So just one of you go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think most of my life I've had some sort of close friend or family member like out on the mission field. So having them go and come, and I've often traveled to visit them as well, so they've shown me hospitality wherever they are working and living at the time. And then vice versa, having them come back and just having them feel like they have a place where they're understood and welcome is super important to me. I had one close friend who came home kind of in crisis, and there wasn't a lot of help and support for them, even from their sending organization. So I looked really deeply at that time for like where could somebody go who needed some support, and just somebody who understood what they'd been through, and it didn't really exist. And that was one of the impetuses for my involvement in Sanctuary and with you guys, as just trying to figure out how we can provide some safe place of welcome. And I mean, I still think the word sanctuary is pretty key, and giving people a place where it's like a refuge for them to go. So that's some of my background. And then early on, I had a vision when I was out on like a missions trip. I think I was like 18. And we were in Alaska, and I just saw this beautiful island with a big house or lodge or something on it as we were going, you know, on a ferry by. And I'd had, you know, some experience with my youth pastor just needing some breaks, some respite care. And I don't know, I just felt like the Lord put those ideas together as like someday there will be like a place like this where people who are in ministry can go and get rest and recoup. And it would just be like, it was a place of extreme beauty. Like there were people kayaking, you know, along the water was like crystal clear. And I just thought that was like the place like where my like spirit was like at peace. And I thought, oh, that's a place where I think we need a place like that, I guess.
Yeah, Joanne, so tell us a little bit of what kind of stirred in you this desire for hospitality.
We're always growing and learning wherever we are. And for us, when we were, especially when we were in Eastern Europe, a lot of times our house was the place that people came as they landed or as they were leaving. We were pretty strategic to the airports, and it was just a joy to have people in our home. And then our time at Worldview, it was clear to us that we wanted to continue to minister to the global worker. And that just grew. And yeah, but just that idea of hospitality, I mean, for us, it's been a place where people can come and stay, but it's also this that open house, I mean, that open door to your house and, you know, coming in and having coffee and a cookie, you know, whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be like fancy, what we've been doing, but yeah, just allowing God to stretch that. And when we think of hospitality, I often think of like the generosity of God. And so in which, how is he stirring you to generosity?
I think you have an innate hospitality gift, because I can't think of a time where I haven't been to your house where you haven't had some sort of coffee or tea or beverage for me and some sort of cookie or delicious bread. But I mean, and I think some of that is just like a practice of always welcoming people into your home becomes like second nature in some ways. And I feel like there's like not a time, even from early on, when I didn't feel like super welcome in your guys' house. And I was just some random person who declared they were going to be friends with you. You know, that could have really weirded you out, but you let me come in. But I think that's true when people say there's all the spiritual gifts. I think there is a gift of hospitality.
For sure.
You know, and you can see that in people who naturally like just do it, which I think Joanne does.
Well, I'll just say here, I feel like I have learned a lot from my husband, and because he is a servant, and he's so observant to a person's needs and maybe a wound. And anyway, so I've learned a lot from him.
Yeah. So you started to touch on this a little bit, Joanne, but what would you say is the heartbeat of hospitality, its purpose, and I mean, why should we be doing it?
As image bearers of Christ, because he is a generous God, and well, he's preparing a place for us. Yeah. It is just him.
I think it's like the epitome of the kingdom, welcoming people in. I mean, that's, Jesus was always bringing people in and eating with them, and they were not, you know, society's favorite characters most of the time, you know, but everyone was welcome, I think. So to me, there's a big, like, overarching theme of helping people feel at home and welcome and like they're in a safe place. Mm-hmm. You know, hospitality is not entertaining necessarily, though I think it's a word that's intermixed nowadays, especially. Like, I was like researching for this, and I looked for hospitality podcasts, and they were all in like the hotel and food industry. And it's like, that's okay. You know, there's some truth to that, but at the same time, I think it does kind of a disservice, you know, to what we're talking about. And I think the kingdom is hospitable, you know, and we should be creating an environment that represents the kingdom here on earth.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, what I hear you guys saying is kind of like this, we're practicing for heaven.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it.
Yeah, and Katie, you touched a little bit on the life of Christ and his hospitality, where he reached out and he shared meals with people, and that's such a big part of hospitality is breaking bread, literally breaking bread with one another. But are there other scriptures or incidences or stories from scripture that kind of talk about the idea of hospitality?
Well, I mean, I think about the loaves and fishes story, which, I mean, there was no scarcity mentality of we don't have enough to go around. It was the opposite, right? Which is, this will be sufficient for what we need. I think there's a kind of underlying, you know, kind of lesson in there for us that we often think we're not prepared to host people, or that we, I don't know, I don't have enough food, I don't know how to bake, I, you know, whatever. But I think there's always enough to go around, and the Lord will bless it. So I think there's some things in there where I think people get afraid of inviting people into their homes or having them over, but I think we just need to start doing it and trust that the Lord will bless it and, like, meet the needs for that day, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it means you're running by Safeway on the way over, or even having your guests run by Safeway on the way over, which is fine. I think that's totally fine. You know, you're creating an environment where you're going to, you know, interact with each other and hopefully invite, like, you know, the Spirit and the kingdom to come in that space. So we don't need to overthink it, is one thing. And we don't need to worry about a scarcity kind of mindset. Like, the Lord will provide. And even if we're just sitting around having water, that's fine. You know, so I think there's some things in those scriptures. I also think I was reading yesterday about Jesus sending out the 72, and he was talking about how when they go into a city, they're basically, you know, kind of to see if there's a house that will take them in. If that house takes them in, their peace that the Lord is sending them out with will descend kind of on that house while they're there. And I thought, that's really interesting. Like, the people who are welcoming in and being open to, like, God's work being done in that space, they will have peace and blessing from the Lord. I think there's something for the person who's providing the hospitality that, you know, you might not even realize until later, but I think you will be blessed.
Very good. Well, for me, the Innkeeper's podcast came from a time when someone asked me, is there a biblical narrative that you have used or thought of, or that God has given you as you prepare for sanctuary? And this was in the early days of it. And it was the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan I saw as Jesus and tending to the wounded man and taking him to the innkeeper, entrusting him to the innkeeper. And that innkeeper had to receive and continue tending to the wounds, but also trust the Good Samaritan for the funds. And that's what we were stepping into, that we could trust him for what it would take to care for the wounded, the weary that came to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Those are great reminders of God's work in the midst of hospitality. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not doing it just for our sake, we're doing it for his sake. And yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
And that's sustainability in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about generosity versus scarcity, and you talked about God's provision, and the generosity keeps coming up. But are there other things that you think about hospitality and the character of God?
Well, I mean, going back to Carl, what you were saying about it, we're kind of practicing what it's going to be like in heaven. Like, heaven's going to be pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be spectacular. You know, and I think that's where at times you know, it actually makes me really sad when we see things within the church landscape and ministry landscape where, like, scarcity is the norm and versus, like, abundance, mm-hmm. right? And so I feel like the Lord has all the resources, everything. He can give us everything. So I think that's where I think he's going to make this place super special. It's going to be really gorgeous. We're going to have nice finishes of things, you know, like this, which is something I've been talking about from the beginning. But, like, I mean, I think, why wouldn't the Lord do that for his people? Like, why wouldn't he provide all that we need and more? You know, so that's where I think I look for it to be like, how's the Lord going to, like, delight us with something really awesome and make a place, you know, that really represents his kingdom and his heaven on earth. And so, yeah, I think, I mean, generosity, but also I just think God's not stingy. And we've had times here where it's felt lean, you know, as we were starting up and stuff. But even through that, we could see the Lord's abundance. Even as I look around the property, it's like just abundance, you know. So I think there's something in that too with the idea of what kind of an environment does God want us to like steep ourselves in. And I think it's one of like his lavish care, you know. And if we have his people who are coming to us who have been doing his work and need a break, why wouldn't they get like lavish, abundant, you know, provision and care, you know? So I think some of that is really like God's character, and are we representing his character, you know, as we represent him here in this little tiny space that we're in.
Mm-hmm. So one question we have is, what makes hospitality feel different than perhaps just renting a room somewhere?
We talked about this yesterday. But I mean, I think when you're renting a room, it's a business, right? Mm. And people are thinking about their expenses and their income and how they're going to make a profit. And working in the business world, I understand that and totally appreciate it. But like when we're talking about hosting people and hospitality, like I did say earlier we'll get blessings, but like I'm not really getting anything out of it, and I don't really have to worry about the cost and the expenses and all of those things. So in that case, it's a bit more like I'm having you in my home, right? And I'm hosting you. I'm not like doing a transaction with you, I guess I would say. So when somebody comes and stays in your home, you're thinking more about their comfort. And do they have everything they need? I mean, I try to think ahead to, like, if it's a coffee drinker, do I have enough coffee? My sister doesn't do coffee, so every time she comes, I buy English breakfast tea for her. You know, it's things like that where, I mean, you feel like you're coming and somebody knows you and they've prepared for you. Right. And that's a little different from, here's the room for the night, here's your key, let me know if anything breaks, you know, which is a little different than like, I've been looking forward to you, I know you, and I have prepared a place for you. Doesn't that sound familiar? I've prepared a place for you. Mm-hmm. So I just think like, I like to get to know who's coming. You don't always know, but can I do anything that would be special for them? And I know you guys probably think about this. If somebody's coming with kids, like, do we have toys or things age appropriate for them? You know, is that, where are they coming from? Could they use more interaction or less interaction? I mean, I think the same when people are at my house. Like, when you guys lived with me, you were living with me. We didn't need to do all the, like, I mean, I didn't have to care for you as much. You were just staying there, right? But I've had people come for the weekend where it's like, yeah, I want to make sure there's breakfast food for them. Yeah. They don't have to worry about it in the morning. They know where it is. They can get it themselves. You know, so, I mean, I think you just tailor things differently, and that's like, I think part of hospitality is like knowing who's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you can.
Yes.
Yeah. When you can. Yeah. Here, potentially, and that can be a challenge.
Right. Totally. They might be coming out of the blue. You never know.
We do try to communicate with a little bit of information ahead of time. It's something we're always working on, and I think we're making steps to being better about that so that, yeah, bicycles, especially in the summertime, it's nice when there's working bicycles that kids can ride because they love to ride bikes, and having food in the refrigerator when someone shows up. And, it breaks my heart when someone shows up and they don't feel welcome, or I haven't done the things that I feel like it's important to make them feel welcome. And I don't ever feel good about that. So some of those, just we touched on that a little bit, practical tips, having food in the fridge, maybe some ice cream, bicycles for the kids to ride. Are there ice cream? Yeah. are there other things, just kind of knowing your guest or
What would you want? What kind of things do you like to do, Joanne, to prepare and welcome people in?
Well, I always have to have cookies ready.
Yes,
and always. I've learned, go ahead and have, you know, the dough in the freezer.
That's a good plan.
Joanne's cookies are famous. Around the world. From all our guests.
They totally are famous. Yeah. And I hear people talk about it, like, oh, are we getting the cookies? I'm like,
yeah, cookies, that's a good place to start. Uh-huh. And, yeah, people just want to be seen and know that they have space. I mean, our people are pretty global, and they're on the move, and, you know, just to know that there's space for them just to stop, and that we value naps, and we try to communicate that, because there's just, you know, a lot of pressure to perform, and we want them to know this is a place to stop and just be and have time to be praying, to be with one another, to be silent or sing out, you know, whatever it is that they're needing.
Mm-hmm. Giving them space and permission in some ways.
Oh, yeah. It is. It does seem like it is permission sometimes.
Yeah, I think for sure also making sure that people feel safe and that they have a safe place to be themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also where I think about how even structuring the space I give people, like, and I know we've had to be creative here as well, but when I have like a family stay with me, I give them the whole top floor of my house so they have their own space and I don't go up there. That's their space.
Right.
When they're in my house. And there's room for me somewhere else, you know, where I still feel like I have my space. And I think that's also where people need a place to like retreat to and not feel like they have to be on all the time. And I think I'm looking around like the dining room here is even like, I bet when people come the first time and they're meeting people, they feel like they have to put on their face, their special, like, I'm a global worker face, you know? And
tell the story.
Tell their story. Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, eventually they'll get comfortable and realize they don't have to put on, you know, a face. They can be themselves. But I think setting the stage for where they can be in their own private space and do whatever work they need to do themselves with the Lord is key. And I think the same whenever somebody's coming to your house, like, is there a place they feel comfortable and like they can go, everyone needs, there was a book I loved, it was a design book, and there was a concept called like an away space, like a little private space you could go shut the door and like read a book, you know, listen to music, just, but private little, I mean, it could be a closet, but the idea was, is like everyone needs an away space, you know? And I think in kind of some of these like big environments where everybody's interacting and, you know, do you feel like you have an away space to go to? I think I try to kind of cultivate those little spaces for people.
That's really good. And even in a bedroom, to have a space that's not on the bed, to have
a
cozy chair. That's
blanket.
Always a cozy blanket. I mean, that's always my goal, is that there's a chair also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the environment that people walk into, because we've had more than one guest comment on that the bedding matches or... that, you know,
my,
and just
my desire and obsession with matching comes out.
Yeah.
But no, I think it to me it comes down to some of the Lord preparing a place for you and it being a special place. And I think you know, he creates beauty in the world, and we can also create beauty in the spaces around us, and it doesn't have to be expensive. I think people think it has to be expensive when it looks put together. I think my mom was very good at showing me this, like our house always felt put together. So do we have tons of money to spend on decorating things? No, but it always felt like everything had a purpose. The you know, the pillows are cozy, the blankets are cozy, things are the same color scheme, you know, things like that. Just build an environment that feels, you know, intentional. And I think that some of it is like, we're trying to build an intentional space where people feel like, this is a special place the Lord has prepared for me. And I think that's some of what's behind it. And again, it's like the abundance mentality versus like scarcity. I believe the Lord will provide towels that match for us.
Yes. This is totally reminding me of the MK experience.
We would
furlough here in the U.S. and borrow furniture from people. And one of my prayer requests was often, may our furniture match.
And I understand.
It not look like a, halfway house or something. Mm-hmm. Like, we wanted to feel warm and welcoming. And I think there's some of
like
that you're trying to say when we put intentionality into how it looks, we're communicating value.
Well, yes. The other piece to that, too, is that it's not trying to keep from something that feels chaotic, because you're trying to create a place of peace.
Yes.
And so it's even the quieting in the furnishings, you know, just keep it simple.
Yeah.
I always have to tell myself, keep it simple, Joanne, because you know I like abundance.
Yes. Yeah. But I think I like what you're saying about it. It's creating a feeling of peace. It's often how we put together a space really conveys how people feel in it. And I don't think you can kind of get away from that. I mean, so when we put intention in and we make it feel like a cohesive, peaceful space, people aren't distracted by that, and then they can kind of more like calm and within their own hearts maybe focus on something else.
Yeah.
I would always be looking at the furnishings being like, why doesn't anything match, you know? and that would my personality, you know, but that would bug me, you know. So I think that's where I think we put intention into these things, not to make it look fancy, but to create an environment for people where they can be at home and feel comfortable.
And we're not saying we have gone to a showroom and bought everything that matches in
no.
the showroom. We
no.
aren't looking for a suite of things.
No.
It's that they play nicely with each other.
Yeah.
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 I mean, we've made how many hundreds of trips to Goodwill and come home with something that
works.
It's not brand new, but it works, right? It goes in.
We're not talking about spending thousands of dollars to make things work, but just intentionality.
Yeah.
And doing it frugally. I mean, God can use even sometimes frugal ways and sometimes generosity of others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we never want to come off being critical of anyone who's like, well, I've got an extra bedroom and I can put someone in there when I need to. And, you know, and
yeah
we don't ever, we're never... Our goal
these are just
is
tips.
Just tips.
That we
just things that.
These welcoming environments.
Yeah, things that people commented on. I mean, people comment on those things. And so that's kind of amazing.
So, what are, would you say, some of the challenges of hospitality, or some of the disappointments or struggles?
Oh, I feel like Steve kind of touched on this, is if we haven't understood what someone needed, or they haven't understood who we are. So that's just a communication thing, but that's hard.
Yeah.
Because our hearts are for caring.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think it's easy for me to fall back into entertaining, and that's not hospitality, like I was saying earlier. So at times I can put more effort out for making food or setting an environment up, and then I lose sight of the people who are coming and why it's happening. So that's like my own personal like challenge typically to myself, that I don't need to perform, and the whole point is that people feel comfortable, and if I'm stressed that something's not turning out the way I envisioned it, then everyone is going to feel that stress like as well. So I think it's more just setting expectations and mentally resetting my mindset so that I'm in the right spot. But I think also sometimes you don't jive with everyone who comes across your path, and we have different personalities. Maybe at times people misunderstand our meaning and their meaning. So I can say without a doubt it's not always gone smoothly, but
not even with us.
The time that Steve ate the food where I told him he could eat it but I was hangry, you know, like when you have people in your proximity, things like that are going to happen. And also if you're having a bad day, you know, that impacts everything around you. So I wouldn't say it's like necessarily a disappointment, but it's more like just life and reality, and you need to be prepared for that to happen. And also, how do you reset
exactly
mentally and with the people who are there? And you know, if you need to say something,
that's well, that's kingdom practices again.
Yeah.
You know, just even coming to, back to that place of peace, trusting in the Father as we're all still are growing.
There are lots of opportunities for forgiveness.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, I would say, like, you know, hospitality and having people stay in your home is, again, almost like living with people, in which case you have to learn how to do that well. And mm-hmm. not everybody having grace for each other, not everybody's having their best day. You know, I am very cranky after I've traveled for a long time, so I'm sure I probably don't give off the best vibes when I come into a place for the first time. But I notice everything, and by the next day when I wake up, I'm probably in a totally different place. So I think that's also just having a lot of grace for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And grace for the guests that are coming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever they're bringing. I mean, especially our global workers, they come with the weight on their shoulders. And mm-hmm. they want to... They don't know the environment they're walking into, so we have to extend them grace. And I mean, it's a two-way street, but there is that reality that it is relationships.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say probably the first 24 hours someone's at Sanctuary Inn, it's kind of finding their way, mm-hmm. you know, learning about us, learning about them. And I know I get disappointed when I try to do something or care for them but maybe I haven't paid close attention or I missed something. And then when they leave and I look in the fridge and almost everything I bought was still in the fridge because mm-hmm. they needed something else. Mm-hmm. And I didn't catch that or I didn't hear it. Or it's like, oh, I wanted to do something for them.
Yeah, you want to meet their needs.
Yeah, I want to meet their needs. And somehow I missed. And anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what are some of the joys and rewards of hospitality?
You get to meet people you've never met before. That's fun.
I know. I had a guest one time said, well, you have a lot of friends that come here. I go, these people were guests first, and then they became friends.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it can happen quickly within the missionary sphere.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, once you start telling your stories around a table and mm-hmm. realizing the similarities, even if it's a different place in the world, it makes a difference.
Yeah, I think that's the opportunity to connect broader and outside of your space. And I mean, we've been talking a lot about like Sanctuary Inn because it is like the epitome of kind of what we're talking about today. But I think also about just inviting people into your life and into your home and outside of our missions, church, you know, world and environment. And in that case, you know, we're potentially making connections that could lead to kingdom growth. And, you know, mm-hmm. so I think there's lots of different forms, but I think that's where we want to kind of always be prepared and ready to invite people in. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I think you kind of have to have that mentality of the 72 is like, sometimes it's not received well, and you just shake the dust off your feet and move to the next mm-hmm. one. I think you kind of have to have a little bit of that in the back of your mind. It's not always going to be perfect, and maybe sometimes it doesn't work out, and maybe the next encounter will. Like, I don't know, but I think we're supposed to be ready and open mm-hmm. to those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And God has brought amazing people across our country.
Oh, my.
Century.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So many friends. But not every guest has benefit. So they maybe had needs that we had to refer out to someone else. Mm-hmm. So someone else was a better fit for them. So I think that reality is that we need to do our best, like you're saying. But at the same time, there's other people in the body of Christ.
Yes. Right.
And trusting God with the outcome.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time, it's a lot of fun, especially in the, you know, I keep referring to the weather, but please realize living in Oregon, summer matters. So
it's all that matters.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We live for summer. Right?
And so when there are families here and the kids are outside playing and everyone's having fun and they're, you know, running through the field or playing in the sprinkler or whatever.
Eating watermelon
and eating dinner outside. It is a big source of joy. It is so joyful. And everyone's interacting with one another. I mean, there's times that we've had multiple guests here, didn't know one another, didn't know us. We didn't know anyone. And then but God brings us all together. And it's a great joy.
Yeah, I think it does bring a lot of joy. I have had multiple times where I've hosted, I don't know, groups, whatever, just open my yard is now typically what I open, but it was in the past. Actually, true, I also had the fire pit. But, like, just seeing people be outside talking to each other, or having, like, roasting, you know, marshmallows, and having good conversations, even if I'm not involved in it, it brings me joy that I created an environment and I helped it happen somehow. Mm-hmm. Even just like bringing together different friend groups or different people who maybe haven't met before, I think that, you know, you're kind of creating an environment for something to happen. And I find a ton of joy in, mm-hmm. I had some families coming over for a while in the summers. It was right at the tail end of COVID, and so we were all outside, the kids were all playing, and just seeing people interact and play together, and like the kids were totally like destroying the flowers, and I don't care because they're having so much fun. I mean, all their parents were running after them trying to get them to stop. Yeah. But you know, it really, like, there's later when I see the giant hole in the flowers, it will remind me of them, and I will just smile and like enjoy it, you know. So I think there's like signs that people have been to your house, even if it's just like the dishes and the mess. Yeah. But to me, that's like a sign of a good time. You know, so I think that's also where you have to kind of have that perspective of, that's what it's going to look like. That's kind of the cost of doing this, mm-hmm. but it's totally worth that cost to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So just looking at your lives today and reflecting back on the chances you've had to share hospitality, kind of how have those past experiences influenced where you are now?
Well, one thing I was reflecting on as we were talking is just the impact COVID had on everybody, mm-hmm. with feeling comfortable opening their homes and just being in close proximity with each other. And I mean, I feel like I dialed things back and I became more of a homebody, and I have like my small group of people that I'm quite close with, you know, which during COVID a lot of us had, like our little pods of people, you know. But I think I'm feeling right now, even as we're reflecting on all of this, is like the challenge to go broader again and start to feel more comfortable, like kind of opening things up and just practicing that. So I think it's, you can't always create the environment, but I think being intentional and looking for ways you can welcome people into your life, and it doesn't have to always be your home, but it could just be welcoming people in church on Sunday morning when they're like, greet the new people. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been going to a different church lately, and I've been the new person. So it's really interesting to be on the other side of it and realize how important it is to reach out and like try and create environments for people, mm-hmm. To really relate and come together. So yeah, I think it's time for us to not be so afraid of doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good.
Or for me. You can take that as you will.
So many things come to my mind. I will say this. I'm just thinking about when my parents would host a couple big parties a year. Mm. My dad was a professor, and he would have his students come. And my brother preferred it when we were sent off to our grandparents. I wanted to be home.
At the party,
I wanted to help my mom prepare for it, and she taught me a way, her way, a very organized way of preparing. I'm not as organized as my mom, but she made room for me to be learning. Mm. How to receive people and have things prepared for them. And I would encourage parents to do that, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. figure out what gives that life and joy to your child and invite them to be a part of welcoming people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's it's something our kids can just really get into, and they like, oh, let's make this special, let's do this, yeah. let's go put something special in the room, or do you have something you could share with you know, this little boy who's coming? Or I mean, we shouldn't exclude them. We shouldn't shut the door and say, oh no, mommy and daddy will do this, or whatever. So yeah, don't exclude them.
Yeah, and I was just even thinking here at Sanctuary, and our kids have often been the ones to welcome the other kids
in. Yeah,
and run out and greet people that have come back again, or they become a part of the welcome.
Right. Mm-hmm. Encouraging them that this is who we are. We receive people.
Yeah. And I think you can do this in community groups as well. Like, you can create an environment of a community that is welcoming, you know, and bringing people in. And I think, like, I host a party with a good friend of mine regularly every year. And it's something we can do together, but it also takes the load off and makes it easier when you have, like, a buddy. So I think also thinking through how can I actually expand the group that's maybe doing the welcoming or taking stewardship of an idea. It could be, like, maybe there's, you know, a group of families that you want to get together and start to invite other families into. You don't always have to be the main one. Maybe the group can kind of help steward the idea together. So I think that's also where we can look around us also to see who can kind of participate, even in the hospitality side of it and the giving side.
Yeah.
Realizing there's different strengths.
Totally different strengths. Yeah.
I think it's something we've talked about at Sanctuary Inn is we welcome a lot of people, but we say a lot of goodbyes. And the kids have had to say a lot of goodbyes. Mm-hmm. They've made friends, and then some of the friends they've had the chance to see again, but many of them they haven't. So that is kind of a life lesson, though, in there, too, is that we do have a lot of hellos and a lot of goodbyes in our life, and it's something that the kids have been part of. And really, it's a growing experience for them, too.
Yeah, and as we're talking too, like, we're talking in the American context, a lot of this stuff.
Yes.
And I think everyone who's listening to this can tailor this to whatever the realities are in their culture and environment. But we're just trying to touch on what are the realities of hospitality that we've experienced.
Yeah, because there's no one way. And where you're living and who you're serving with, and it's going to dictate how you greet them. And
what's welcoming and what's not.
What's welcoming and what's not welcoming. Yeah. So it's the attitude. It's the attitude of someone feeling welcome in your home. And that's going to happen when they know you've made an effort to welcome them. You've made an effort to say, hey, we've been looking forward to you. So.
So as we wrap up here, are there any resources or books or thoughts or ideas you would want to leave with our audience?
Well, I was kind of looking for books on this, but I haven't found a lot of good ones. But I have, like, listened to a lot of podcasts where people are talking about this. And, you know, I think we talked about a lot of the same things today, you know. But one thing I have been reflecting on a bit is how do we create an environment of welcome all the time? And there's one organization that I will share that is called Women of Welcome. And they're focused on welcoming in refugees and immigrants. And it's a very American organization. But I've really been following along with them because they're really focused on, you know, taking care of the poor, the widows, and the immigrants, and that comes up in scripture a lot. And the attitude of being a people who welcome, and how do we, like, build that muscle in many ways? I don't think it's a very Western American thing to be, to have that kind of hospitality is not really our culture, and it's kind of a given, and I've traveled lots of places, luckily, for work, and even how I'm treated in another offices around the world versus here, I'm kind of like, well, you guys know where the cafeteria is. I realize now, as people have taken me and walked me to places, you know, and made sure that I have had, like, dinner, like, worked out, you know, that we are not really well practiced at times in how to really create an environment of welcome. So I've been following along with them. That might be something if somebody's interested. I think it's they've got a lot of resources, and then they also can try to put you into kind of groups in your community where you can practice being, you know, participating in how to welcome people in the Lord's name. Mm-hmm. So that one's been cool. And there's some great online things that I've followed along with them. I don't know.
Yeah. I think for both of us, too, we just, like, enjoy looking at beautiful books or magazines, and just there's inspiration that comes from that. And
we're kindred spirits in that way.
We just kind of are always looking, and what is appealing, and what, I don't know.
Well, I know sometimes you're watching someone on YouTube or an HGTV or someone, and it's not so much how much money can you spend, it's what can you do with what you have.
Yeah.
And that's inspiring. I mean, because, you know, we certainly don't have an unlimited budget, but we want places to look nice, and we want things to look put together, and so there's people out there that
and I think you become a student of what creates a welcoming environment and what makes you feel at home. Mm-hmm. And even talking with other people, like what made them feel comfortable in a space, or why did they like it so much? Mm-hmm. And it's like kind of storing away those little ideas, I think, is what we're doing, because we're like, maybe I can do something similar, you know, in a space that I'm kind of helping curate for people. And I think that's where some of those things come from, is we're trying to get ideas and of how to make things better and meet maybe somebody different's needs than my, like what I like is not what everybody else likes. Right. You know, so I kind of try to keep an eye out for, oh, why did they like that so much? It didn't matter to me, but it mattered to them, so I could like file that away.
Mm-hmm. So in many ways it's becoming a learner of hospitality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And paying attention and looking for those things and looking for those themes. And as you are intentional, I think we've used that word a lot today, it kind of creates this mentality that you're looking for.
Right. And there's sometimes I'll tell Steve, I go, we need to go to this place or that place. Should I say them? Edgefield or out to Dundee. I need inspiration. I need refreshed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just need that.
Mm-hmm. Get the creative ideas.
You look for what inspires you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And refreshes you, and then try to translate those things into either your sanctuary and your home or other environments that you are a part of.
We'll go to restaurants and we'll just watch how they do things. because it's we get ideas that help us.
It's being a learner of hospitality.
We try to be more efficient. We try to be more, and more. It's like, oh, that's such a clever idea, and it's simple, and it's like, we can do that. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
So anyone out there who wants to grow in this area, it's really kind of putting that mindset on.
I will say, too, that we've been having our bathroom remodeled, so we haven't been able to be in our suite. And so we've had to stay in different parts of the property. Uh-huh. And that's been good.
It's a good experience to try it out.
It's like, okay, this bed feels good. I feel good about this. Or,
there's no place to put my phone in.
We've got to upgrade this bed. So
bathroom, whatever you're using.
I think it's good to be a guest in your own space in places and to try it out, because then you realize what people are missing that they would need. Like, you know, where are you going to hang your coat? You know, is there a place to plug your phone in? Mm-hmm. Where do you put your water bottle?
Does your suitcase have to sit on the floor?
Yes.
Do you have something? I mean, even just a small
Can you get it out of
dresser?
The way when you empty it? And, you know, that's where I, even just traveling with friends, I've realized some people, they unpack everything. Uh-huh. Other people don't. Yeah. And you've got different styles. So it's like, do I have space for both styles of people? You know, but I think it shows you a lot about how welcome your space is. Like, you might assume, like I would say, go sleep in your guest room if you have a guest room and see if it's really comfortable. Mm-hmm. How would your guests, how is their experience? Because even if you ask them, like, how's the bed? They're not going to tell you it's terrible. They're not.
We did finally have a moment of truth one time when we had more than one guest comment on a bed we had at the time. And some very good friends said, it's time for it to go.
It needs
and so
you need those honest people.
Yeah, yes. Because we didn't know. We thought it was a really nice bed, and it wasn't. But we've been able to replace it, and it's...
I stayed in my guest room when my family was in town at Christmas, and I was like, this is mattress is terrible. And I ordered one from that bed.
You're like, and this is
and
done.
I was like, and I had recently had guests, and they, of course, would never say anything to me. But I was like, this is... I can't sleep here, so I don't know how they did, you know, kind of thing. So I think that's good to do every now and then. And again, like, if you don't have money, fine. People are happy to just have a bed. Like, I don't want people to get the wrong impression, but by trying out some of the things in your own house as a guest, you realize, oh, it could be a little bit more welcoming. Mm-hmm. I could add a few little things, and it would make a huge difference. Even like an egg crate or something can help, you know, sometimes. But I think it's good to practice being the guest as well, and like go other places. And what does it mean to be a good guest if you've hosted a lot of people? You kind of know as well. So it's like also how can you minister to the people who are hosting you?
Thing I'm thinking about this, a lot of what we're talking about, there's logistical things and practical things, but there's also an attitude. There's a lot of hospitality as an attitude. I experienced incredible hospitality in a favela, in a slum house in Rio, and they were so hospitable. The tea they gave us, the coffee, I mean, they had nothing.
Generous.
But the generosity was some of the most beautiful generosity I've ever experienced. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because they had a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that attitude. And I think people see that more than anything. We have that generosity in practicing for heaven. Just welcoming and inviting people into what we have.
Yeah, I think the attitude's most important. Otherwise, you end up in the idea of I'm renting a room kind of idea, or it's like way more transactional. But the attitude and like the ministry behind it is really what we're going for. And obviously, you can tell we get delighted in these things, so we're going to put extra effort out into them, which I know not everybody is in that same space, but I think... some people are much better at just sitting and listening to guests than maybe I am, you know, and getting that kind of part of their needs met. So that's again where it's like we're not all built the same, and we're not all going to do it the same way. But I think that's where it's like I think we are for sure called to welcome people into our lives and make them feel like they are in a safe space. Where they can encounter the Lord. Whatever that means to you, I think that's hospitality.
Yeah, feeling seen, feeling heard, you know, those are feeling cared for. And like you said, sometimes we get caught up in the mechanics of fixing a meal and da-da-da, and it can be hard for us sometimes to sit and listen.
Yes.
And so that's a discipline that we have to practice, is stopping and sit and listen.
I do the sitting and listening and all the other stuff. You guys are so much better at it.
Yes. So it's
good.
Team is a great idea.
Yes. So. Yeah, because then you can all work better together.
Yeah. Okay.
Not everybody wants to go to the little vintage and antique stores as much as Joanne and I do. For delightful things to put into
That is true.
You don't have to.
Okay.
Yes.
Estate sales. Anyway, well, Joanne and Katie, thank you for coming and being on the Innkeepers today. It's been a lot of fun, and we trust that it's been a blessing and will be a blessing and encouragement to those that listen.
So Steve, what was a takeaway for you today with our hospitality podcast?
Well, it was a lot of fun listening and just interacting, but just hearing Katie's heart and Joanne's heart and their desire to make a space that is beautiful and inviting. And I think that's really, what they want to see happen when they're extending hospitality to people.
Yeah, I think in our conversation, I was struck by how we really are practicing for heaven, and that we get to, we're invite, God is allowing us to participate with him in the work that he's doing when we offer hospitality. Hospitality is not my gift. It is definitely you and Joanne and Katie have that gift much more than me, but it is an encouragement to me every time I see us do hospitality well here at Sanctuary Inn. So I hope that's an encouragement to all of you out there that, you know, sometimes we, even if it's not our gift, we can step out and be invited into this.
Yeah. Scripture encourages us to be hospitable, and anyone can do it.
Yes. So, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining us for the Innkeepers Podcast. Our mission at Sanctuary Inn is to equip, refresh, and restore God's global workers. We hope today's podcast was an encouragement to you, or maybe the podcast you heard today, you've been prompted to pass this along to someone you know that could benefit from today's conversation. Creating a podcast is a team effort. Cara and I prepare and do the interviews, and we're grateful for the time that our guests give us out of their busy lives to help us learn more about missionary care.
We want to thank Tim Downing for the music he wrote and performed for the Innkeepers Podcast. Tim is a very talented musician, and you can find out more about Tim at downingkeys.com. Our podcast is edited by Javier Bolanos, and our website and show notes are prepared by Micah Githens, my amazing husband. You can visit the Sanctuary Inn website to see more of Micah's great work at sanctuaryinn.org.
Thank you for joining us on our journey to learn more about missionary care.